This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Byrne. And today, you know, have you ever looked at your cat and said, I'll bet you're such an amazing cat. I bet other people would appreciate you just as much. Or the benefits of being a cat pet parent? Well, you're not alone. Today, we're going to talk to one of the people that was involved in a study that's all about using cats as therapy animals. And it's amazing. I think it's an amazing breakthrough because that is usually left for the dogs. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Dr. Taylor Griffin. She is the National Director of AAI Advancement for Pet Partners, as well as the Executive Director of the Association of Animal Assisted Intervention Professionals. Welcome, Dr. Taylor. I'll call you Taylor for the rest of the show. Is that okay?
That's perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
So excited to have you. This is an exciting study because you don't see a lot of cats, you know, used in different studies and so forth, but we're jumping the gun. Tell us, what is the Pet Partners study about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Pet Partners, you know, is an international organization that has therapy animals visiting in many different settings wherever they can help make people feel better. And as you noted, it is by and large therapy dogs that are represented, and they do incredible work. But we're seeing such a need for therapy cats. Where we have therapy cat teams visit, there's just all of the rave. And there's been a long call in the scientific community to study just the cat human relationship in general, but also specifically the work of therapy cats. So we were really excited to partner with the Cat Person brand who funded and made this study possible.
So are people surprised to see cats as therapy pets? Because cats are different. And I was a dog person before I was a cat person, but cats, they take some understanding, whereas dogs are just, you know, for the most part, they go with the flow and whatever. So that's why I'm surprised to see cats as therapy pets. Was that something that you wish to really learn about in this study to try to like squash that, you know, ideology of only dogs can be therapy pets?
Yeah, you know, you're not alone in that. In fact, 100% of the therapy cat handlers in our study said that people are surprised when they see a therapy cat. And, you know, the first response is, I didn't know that that was a thing. But then it's so funny because it quickly shifts into patients requesting specifically visits with therapy cats. And there's just something so different and special about cats. I think any of us who share our lives with cats know that. You know, people always talk throughout the study about how special it was to be chosen by a cat, or to kind of break the stereotypes we have around cats about them being aloof or standoffish. And so in some ways, you know, people describe therapy cats visits as even more meaningful in different, you know, populations. So we're trying to challenge that stereotype and make the call for more therapy cat teams.
Well, I think it's great. You know, I'm sure you've heard of Habry, right?
Yes. Yes. We're good friends with Habry.
Right. Human animal bond.
Yes, Research Institute.
Mm-hmm. There was even during one of the global pet expos that I was at, there was even talk about, instead of medication, let's write a prescription, get a dog, get a cat, you know, you need a pet, because they do so much. So what were the findings that when you did this survey, what did you find that was just really unusual? You did a survey of about 33 cat owners slash handlers, which there aren't that many therapy cat teams in the US. So this is almost what, 40% of the population?
Yeah, it's the largest study on therapy cats that we know of. Like you said, there's not many and it can be hard to connect, but it was a two-level kind of research project. We included surveys with actually 63 cat handlers and then had 29 interviews. And we also were able to do something interesting in this study and have surveys and interviews with facilities that have therapy cat visits. So we got so much data. And as I was diving into it and making meaning of it, I just couldn't decide what I was most impressed by. You know, we saw people talking about cats making people socialize when they ordinarily wouldn't. People, you know, had less anxiety, more social connection, all of those mental health traits that we really want to increase. We saw more of that. We saw so many people even talking about the special purr effect, you know, when they had a cat sit and purr in their lap, how grounding and healing it was. So we talked about everything in these findings, from, you know, mental health impact to just really personal stories of how clients' lives were changed because they got to interact with a therapy cat.
Okay, we're going to talk more about that, but let's go back to the therapy cat group. What type of cats are therapy cats? And I know that not all cats and not all breeds would be perfect for this. Like for my cat crew, Dennis, for sure, he's part Maine Coon. He was my first cat, so I got tricked because he's like the dog of cats, Maine Coon cats. So he's really gentle, easy. Molly, diva. Cat.
Yeah. You
have to understand her. When she comes to me and I call, I feel like I'm special, you know? And and Charlotte is, she likes my spouse better. So she doesn't like me as much. We try, but she's was part feral and we adopted her at 4 months. So she has had the most challenging, I think, upbringing. Dennis was abandoned and Molly was born on my doorstep. So it's quite a mix.
Wow.
And so out of all of those, Dennis, yep, he would be a therapy cat. He loves people. He's easygoing, chill. But isn't it a certain type of cat that you have to look for?
Well, it's a great question. So we really asked a lot around that for these therapy cat handlers. And we found actually a variety of breeds. And over half of the cats from the study were adopted from a rescue group. So it really goes down to that temperament. Like you said, we call it affiliative behavior. You know, is this a cat that likes to meet people outside of their family? And another important consideration for therapy cats is, are they okay with, you know, traveling? If they have to, you know, go in a car to go visit at a senior living community or school, is that going to stress them out? We found that most of the therapy cats were a bit more mature, 6 years or older, but you know, they were all different kinds of breeds from all different backgrounds. And the owners had just recognized that these cats really were very social and then said the cat demonstrates behaviors to show that they enjoy going out and meeting these new people. So it's really enriching for the cats as well.
And all of them are fixed.
They are, yes.
It's interesting because, yes, obviously they would have to be good with travel. And a lot of cats aren't used to that because they really only travel when you take them to the vet. You
know? Right.
It's not like dogs where you bring them to sometimes to a friend's house and you go walk, or take them to a dog park. There's shows I've done dedicated to how do we get the cat in the cat carrier so we can
get that
with cat behaviorists. So that's definitely a challenge. Where did most of your teams visit?
They were kind of all over the place, depending on their cat's preferences. So we teach at Pet Partners, our handlers, to really cue in on where their cat seems to be the most relaxed. I would say the largest percentage would be assisted living and residential treatment facilities. But we also had cats going to schools, hospitals, libraries, domestic violence shelters. And so it really depends on, you know, what their handler feels called to, and then making sure that that cat finds the population that they do best with. But it was funny to hear about the cats who just love children and the cats who just love people, you know, who are older at the elderly stage of life. There's definitely preferences across the cats represented in the study.
That's interesting, you know, and yeah, just what population that they're chill with. And it might not necessarily be anything to do with their home life.
Yep. Yeah, they have their preferences. And I loved hearing about how the handlers cued in on that. It's so important, you know, to protect the welfare of these cats and make sure that they're not just tolerating, that they're actually thriving in this role. And so there were some really rich conversations around that throughout the study.
All right, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Dr. Taylor Griffin about this study on therapy cats. So we've talked about the type of cats and, you know, some of your some surprising findings. What do you see as far as the impact of when the cats visit? And I'm sure it's not one visit and poof, someone's better. Do they set up like ongoing visits to an assisted living so where they're there maybe once every 2 weeks?
Yeah, they sometimes do ongoing visits, but sometimes, you know, in a hospital setting, it is just a one visit encounter. And so we see kind of different variables with each of those. But I think that the main theme that we saw was that people are willing to connect when someone comes with a therapy cat. And it was interesting to see some of the facility contacts share their perspectives, talking about how they might have patients. There was many examples of patients with dementia, for example, who would typically just be checked out, would not engage in any activities. But when the therapy cat came, they started to talk. They started to talk about their childhood with pets and engage with one another. So it's interesting how cats seem to inspire that connection even between humans.
And isn't it amazing how just this little ball of fur can have such an impact on a human?
It is. I think that kind of shock factor of seeing a cat probably does that too, because like we said, you know, 100% of the people who participated in this study said that people are always surprised to see a therapy cat. And so it kind of, you know, wakes you up out of whatever state you're in and engages you. So that's very unique to therapy cats for sure.
So from this study, that from everything that you did, not everybody, of course, will have a cat that they'll, you know, take to various places or anything like that. But do you think reading about the study can also influence people just adopting cats in general for themselves?
Absolutely. So we started the study out by asking our pet owners just more questions about what it means to have a cat as a pet. And we found some robust findings there. Given, you know, the culture that we're in and the recent time period we've had, there were so many even testimonies that came up about COVID and what a challenging time that was. And people saying, you know, I literally would not have made it through if I didn't have a cat. They said, my cat enriches my life. They help me get through tough times. They motivate me to get out of bed when I don't feel like getting out of bed. So I think if you read through this study, you're not only going to be inspired to consider if you have a cat who might be a good candidate for this work, but if you don't have a cat and you have room in your home for one, I'm certainly was compelled. I added actually 3 cats to my family over the series of this project. I was so inspired. So,
and how many cats do you have in total?
I have 5 cats.
5. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. I had 5 at one time, but 2 were more feral outdoor, that we had everything we could have for them, you know.
Yes.
Outside the door, they had a house. They even, I'm in South Florida, they even had a kitty heating pad for winter, a cold front. So we don't have winter here. So it's just, we're taken care of. But unfortunately, feral cats, they don't last as long as when cats are indoors. So you were inspired to get three more cats. So you must be happy and thrilled every single day, right?
I am. I am being a big advocate for therapy animal work. I've typically partnered with canines. And so it's been really fun to just learn, you know, cat training and cat behavior. And it's just a whole different world partnering with a cat in this work.
And speaking of cats, and we didn't ask this before, but during visits, and this is when the handlers are bringing cats to, you know, the various locations. And also, even this is true for us pet parents, even at home. What did the handlers use to keep their cats calm?
So they often talked about, you know, the training that they would do with their cats, which really is kind of the socialization and desensitization before they ever went to a visit. So they talked about taking happy rides in their cars, you know, teaching their cats that, like you said, it's not always going to the vet. It's not always a scary situation. But they would talk about setting up, you know, the visit once they got there. Let's say they're at a hospital, making the cat feel very comfortable, putting a blanket on the patient's lap and giving the cat freedom of choice. So we don't ever just, you know, put a cat in someone's lap and hold them there. Cats have the ability to move freely during visits. If they want space, they can have it. And if they show their owner signs that they're stressed, then we teach our handlers to end the visit. So we don't push it. We try to keep it very positive, give them treats, give them affection. So we always make sure that the cats know how appreciated they are, that the handlers know how to look out for their cat's welfare.
That's great news. Has there ever been instances where the cat's a little, because you said the cats are roaming, I guess it's in an enclosed room, right? Because of
it is in the enclosed room, and our cats are usually actually trained to walk on a leash and harness. So that's another piece of equipment that most therapy cats are going to have, kind of desensitization to, just to keep them safe. You know, you never know in this environment, you want to make sure that there's no way that they could, you know, run and retreat if a door were to open. So these are all cats who are comfortable on a leash. And the people always talked about throughout this study too, that's another shock factor when they come down the hall with a cat on a leash, it always gets people's attention.
I've seen that at Global and it gets people's attention. And you're at a pet expo with people that are in the pet industry or have pet businesses, and it's still, you know, a shocker. I tried to teach Dennis how to walk on a leash. It is not easy. Really not. You think, you know, like dogs, you just clip them and say, okay, you know, let's go. Cats, no. It's quite a bit just to train them to walk on a leash. So
yes, it takes much more time. And I've been working on it with a couple of my cats. And we're finally kind of turning the corner where they are associating the harness with a lot of rewards and seem to enjoy it. But a couple of my cats look at me like, no way. And they're not therapy cat candidates.
Right. They're not always. Where do you see this going? So you have this amazing study that's just been released. Where do you go from here?
Yeah, we're so excited to have formed this relationship with, you know, the Cat Person brand, who really relates to this study because, you know, they offer services or products for cats that are really holistic and simplified. And they realized, they approached us and said, we know this is an understudied intersection and we want to shine a light. So we're going to be working together into the future to, number one, just raise awareness that therapy cats are a thing, that if you have a cat who enjoys meeting new people, there's a pathway, you know, to become a therapy cat team and to share that love in your community and to enrich your relationship with your cat through that. And we just also hope to take these findings and continue to break stereotypes. You know, we tend to think all cats are just aloof, standoffish, you can't train them. And we're learning more and more, you know, cats are surprising us about how much they're capable of. And so we're going to be advocating for that long into the future and hope to have a day when all the people who want to visit with a therapy cat will have the opportunity to do so.
Well, I love that. And I would say there's a lot of work ahead because there's a lot of misconceptions about cats.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm going to attribute it. I think Jackson Galaxy said it, or he said it a lot, that, you know, cats are not small dogs. So right. That's where I heard it first. So And I think that people expect that, as dogs are just easier to read and they're just entirely different, you know, creatures.
Yeah, they are. And there's something therapeutic about that too. I'm excited for mental health counselors to read this study and for, you know, the kind of helping professionals, because as a former mental health counselor myself, I think there's something that can be tapped into there when these clients are talking about feeling special, learning to respect a cat's boundary, learning to get the cat to trust them. How much can we do with modeling like healthy relationships and boundary setting? I think there's so much more to be explored here.
Yes. And one thing I didn't ask, but I'm sure this is a factor because you mentioned the purring. What about the fact that, you know, cats are relatively small? So most people of any size can usually hold a cat if they are okay with the cat's okay with that.
Yeah, that came up a lot. You know, the cats being a special, the right size for visiting, and for many people are scared of dogs or are scared of larger animals. And so cats make animal assisted interventions or interactions with therapy animals more accessible to a wider group of people just based on their size. And I think they tend to be less fears associated with cats than dogs in the general public.
How could you avoid those eyes, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really large eyes in comparison to everything else on their face. Another show. Okay. What would somebody do? I'd like to know, for the audience to know, what would someone do to either start the pathway, their cat, you know, is good, they have time, they want to be a therapy cat, or where would someone go to, you know, if they have a place that they think the therapy cat would be perfect, where would they go to, I guess, start the process of having therapy cats come and visit a certain facility?
Yeah, that's a great question. So both of those pathways can be found at petpartners.org. The first step, if you have a cat who you think would be a good candidate for this work, we have a course for handlers to take. It can be taken online that just teaches about, you know, general terminology and policies associated with protecting cat and people welfare and therapy animal visits. So Pet Partners will really walk you through that process. And eventually you'll be able to take an in-person assessment with your cat to obtain that official therapy cat title and be covered by Pet Partners liability insurance. So you're free to go out and visit throughout your community. And there's also a place on the Pet Partners website where you can post volunteer opportunities. So if you have a facility or a hospital or know of a place where therapy cats could be helpful, you can post that there and we'll connect that opportunity to our handlers in your area. And like I said, we need more therapy cat teams. That's the biggest call. Most of our therapy cat teams just simply can't keep up with the amount of visits they get once people or the request for visits once people realize how powerful they are. So that's been made loud and clear through this study that we hope more people will consider becoming a therapy cat team.
Okay, so what does it take? What does it entail to become a therapy cat team? How challenging is it?
You know, it's all about that temperament for the cat. And so it's not too challenging if you have a cat who seems to enjoy meeting new people, who isn't too stressed by, you know, unfamiliar stimuli. So like I said, you take that online handler course, self-paced, you can do it at your own pace. And then when you go to take the therapy animal evaluation in person, it's really going to be mimicking a visit. So you'll be assessed by someone who's trained to walk you through, you know, how does the cat respond to seeing someone with medical equipment? If there's a loud noise, does the cat recover? You know, we're not looking for robotic animals with any of the species that we work with. They're certainly allowed to have natural responses, but for their sake as well, we want to make sure it's something that they recover from quickly, that they go back to seeking affection and love from the people in the room. So it's a mock visit as best as we can during that evaluation. And once you've completed that, you're ready to go.
That's a great idea. It almost seems that you'd know it intuitively if your cat is made for that. Like I said, out of my three, Dennis for sure. And he is not bothered by any of those things, but he will not walk on a leash.
Yes. You do tend to know, you know, you have the cats, and cats can be so resilient. Sounds like Dennis is too. So it's funny. They tend to, I've done a couple of therapy cat evaluations and, you know, you make a loud noise to see how they respond and you just kind of get that side eye. They have a different temperament, these therapy cats.
Yes, it's amazing the work that they do. Where do you see this going in the future? Would it be like every hospital has a therapy cat team, or what's your wish? You know, maybe it might be 5 years, 10 years.
I see this and being in the rescue world too with animals, so many cats need a home and so many people need access to therapy cats. And so I see just endless possibilities. I see facilities that have, resident cats who can help people feel better. I see more therapy cat teams visiting in schools, nursing homes, hospitals. And I think there will be a day when there are just as, if not more therapy cats than any other species, once we can really promote what it takes for a therapy cat to be successful, what temperament we're looking for, and just make people more aware of this opportunity.
I'm looking forward to the future. Thank you, Taylor, so much for coming on Catitude and sharing this information about therapy cats. And where can they read about the study online?
Absolutely. You can go to petpartners.org/catperson and you can find the study and the whole white paper that outlines all of the findings.
Well, I look forward to a day where wherever you might be and you might need a cat, you can have a therapy cat visit you, and that the idea of the population that is in shelters or worse dwindles to zero.
I'm right there with you.
Not sure if that'll ever happen, but we have to remain positive on that. So I look forward to hearing about your next study, and thank you so much for coming on Catitude.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you all liked this show. I learned a great deal and I found it so helpful and informative. If you think your cat would make a good therapy cat, please be sure to check out petpartners.org and or you can go to the show page the episode page for this show, and there'll be a link where you can locate the study and read all about it. I want to thank my cats, Dennis, who he missed his calling. He'd be a great therapy cat. He's my therapy cat, let's say that. Molly and Charlotte. So thanks, guys, for always helping. Thanks to everybody listening to Catitude. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for following us and subscribing where you have to subscribe. And thanks so much. And of course, thanks to the magic of Mark Winter, who makes myself and my guests sound amazing. So, hey, remember, lose the attitude of Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.